I go.
Hey friends, welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaVerge. Let's spend a few minutes making the connecting point. So it's this portion of the program where I really am trying to be sure that the rubber hits the road for each and every one of us as Christians in the cultural conversations of our day. You know, where are the places and spaces where we are, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, really going to bring the mind of Christ to bear in ways that honor Jesus? What are the conversations that we are going to be in? What are the environments where we're going to find ourselves that need redemption, that need a redemptive voice? And so I had an experience yesterday that I just feel compelled to share. And so I had cause yesterday to sit in a county courthouse in a courtroom for most of the morning. And it's you have to pass by juvenile court and general sessions in order to get to a room called Chancery Court, where I spent my morning. So the judge in Chancery Court, I actually have no idea all the kinds of things that he hears. I can tell you the kinds of things that he dealt with yesterday. So this is my very limited experience in Chancery Court. I heard him deal with three kinds of cases: adoption, estate issues that obviously did not fit probate court or they would have been heard over there, and issues related to what I will describe as parental rights and child custody. So all in all, they're issues related to the breakdown of the American family. I mean, they may deal with other stuff in Chancery Court, but I will tell you that in my very limited experience, everything going on in there is because of the breakdown of the family. I found myself simultaneously grieved and in total awe of one particular group of people. So I was grieved that there were parents who didn't even bother to show up at a hearing where their parental rights were being terminated and their child was being adopted by someone else. In every case, at least in the time that I was there, the person who was adopting the child was an extended family member who had to swear under oath that their brother or their sister or their cousin or their child had abandoned their parental responsibility for the child under consideration. I was grieved. I was grieved by what that means, and by what that child has experienced, and by what that child now thinks about parental love and their value, and all the kinds of awful stuff that is assuredly a part of the story that led to those families being in court yesterday. I was also in total awe, of the men and women who were stepping up and stepping in and swearing under oath to adopt a child or children into their own household, into their family, and raise them as their very own with all of the responsibilities that that entails and all of the challenges that come with kids. So I was so deeply grieved, and I was simultaneously in a state of such tremendous awe. In fairly swift succession, through a number of cases that sounded oddly similar, but the personal details of which are likely dramatically different, parental rights were terminated, custody was awarded, adoption was granted, names were changed, and then the court moved on to the next case. So much goes unsaid in what amounts to a largely impersonal statement of facts. There had been no contact, no support, there had been no answer to a summons to appear. Now, you and I both know the layers of sadness and strife and grief and very likely addiction or mental illness that lie beneath the surface of each and every one of those stories. And while on other days I have witnessed men and couples adopting, yesterday, every individual who stood before this particular court on this particular day to adopt a child was relatively young. They were all single women. And I will tell you, you can't do this, but I wanted to rush up and hug them as they passed through that swinging gate back into the gallery where we were seated. And they collected their coat and they walked out of that courtroom as the legal mom of a child or children who they have in many cases been raising with no support for years. And I felt like there should be a group of people surrounding her. There should be a prayer. There should be some kind of ceremony. But there's simply the striking of the gavel in order that the next case might be heard. And then there were the cases related to estates. One man whose mother died, he couldn't exactly remember how old she was when she passed, and her assets were minimal, But he was the executor of the estate, and he was dealing with the challenge of a brother who disappeared more than a decade ago. And now his three adult children, how could he give to them the portion of their father's inheritance? Now, the judge said that the only way to do that would be to have the brother, who disappeared 10 years ago, declared dead. Now, the family feels certain he's not dead. They don't have any evidence that he is dead. But there's also been no contact for a decade. And so the judge laid out the process, and he reiterated that the brother would need to be declared dead and that his children would be the ones who would need to initiate that legal process. Think about that for a moment. Think about the grief that family has already endured. And now what lies ahead in terms of conversations they're going to have and decisions they're going to have to make and actions they're going to have to take and sworn testimony that they're going to have to offer if grandma's estate is actually going to be distributed to her grandchildren. This is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not how God intended families to function. And beyond double parking and eating too much fast food and listening to comedians, let me just say, this is the kind of deep sin and brokenness that God sent Jesus to redeem. And so today, when your list of confessions or sins that you're confessing before the Father and things that you're grieved over are personal and they're small, I want you to call to mind people who are living today in desperate need of God's redemptive touch, plan, the gospel, that would reach into these lives, these generations of brokenness, these situations in our American culture. Last Sunday in Sunday school, we talked about the book of Malachi. It's a short and worthy read if you've not spent much time in the minor prophets of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4 begins with these words. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. You shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. And so what I want us to hear, first of all, is the promise of God of redemption. And what it's going to be like if you've never seen a calf leap out of a stall into a lush, grassy, warm field, then you need to anticipate that this spring when this winter thaw actually comes. But what is the law of Moses to which Malachi alludes? What are the statutes? What is the rule that God commanded at Horeb? Yes, he's talking about the Ten Commandments, but you got to remember that Jesus then says to us, hey, I'm not just fulfilling the law. I'm actually setting it before you magnified. I'm calling you to a higher righteousness. I'm calling you to utter holiness. I'm calling those who follow me to go beyond what the commandments actually require to the very heart of the holiness of God. Jesus is the one who said, Moses said, don't murder, but I say unto you, if your heart burns with anger towards someone else, then you've already committed murder in your heart. Moses said, don't commit adultery, but Jesus said, if our hearts are filled with lust toward others, we've already broken ourselves against the perfect law of God. Friends, the gospel's not simply about me and Jesus with a deal we strike in prayer over my personal sin for personal salvation. It's about the redemption of all things, and it's about the substantial restoration of relationships. Not just my relationship with God, yes, that's essential and that's where it starts, but being restored to right relationship with myself and then in right relationship with others. That's what our families need, that's what our world needs, and that's what the gospel offers. You and I are ambassadors of that kingdom and that king. We are agents of that grace, and we are ministers of God's reconciling love to the world. So pray with me today for those individuals and families with whom my path intersected yesterday in court. Pray for the children involved. Pray for the parents who are now considered severed or even dead, though they be physically alive. That is heartbreaking, and it is compelling in terms of ministry. So, for those of you looking for an opportunity on the courthouse steps, let me offer you this. It's called Courtside Ministries. Check it out at courtsideministries.org and consider becoming an agent of God's grace on the courthouse steps in your community today. All right, friends, that's all we've got time for today here on Connecting Faith. I'll see you right back here tomorrow. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. You can check out what we're doing at myfaithradio.com. Have a great day, and God bless.